The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. There was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived 7 years with her husband after her marriage, then as a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped night and day with fasting and prayer. And coming forward at that very time, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were awaiting the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had fulfilled all the prescriptions of the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their hometown of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. The Gospel of the Lord. So once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. And once again, welcome back. When Jesus is presented in the temple, he's met that day by two elderly souls, Simeon and Anna. Both had been waiting their entire lives in persevering prayer, hoping that one day they would see the Messiah with their own eyes. Now, Simeon had specifically been promised by God that he would not close his eyes in death until those eyes had gazed upon the Messiah, and that was the content of yesterday's gospel, if you heard yesterday's gospel. When they laid the infant Jesus in the arms of Simeon, he looked up to heaven and said, "Now, Lord, you can let your servant go in peace. Your word has been fulfilled. My own eyes have seen the salvation which you have prepared in the sight of every people, a light to reveal you to the nations and the glory of your people Israel." Words, by the way, which the church still prays every night in its night prayer all around the world, as it has for centuries and centuries and centuries. Well, whereas Simeon is remembered for what he says, Anna is remembered for what is said about her. It was said that she was advanced in years, having lived 7 years with her husband, and then as a widow until she was 84. Question for you here this morning. Why do you think they mention all those details? 7 years married, widow until she's 84. Do you think that that's just trivia? That he just threw it in, the gospel writer, for the fun of it? Whenever you see details like that, almost always, they have a deep meaning. Let me tell you what the numbers mean. Seven is the number of the covenant. 84 is the number of the fulfillment of the covenant. Here's why. There are 12 tribes in Israel, and 7 twelves is 84. The perfection of the tribes of Israel is the fulfillment of the covenant. Now, Anna was a widow. Anna knew well that Isaiah the prophet had once said that Israel would become a widow, but that one day God would redeem Israel and make Israel his own bride. That's why when Anna sees the child Jesus, she knows that Isaiah's promises are fulfilled. Israel is redeemed. And that's why she gave thanks to God and spoke to all who were awaiting the redemption of Jerusalem. Now, it's interesting, the word redeemed, interesting word. In Latin, it's redimere, and it means to buy back, to buy back. In Hebrew, it's a little bit deeper. The word is ga'al, and it means to establish justice. It means specifically, in historical context, to establish justice by the shedding of blood. Here's what used to happen. Back in the days of the Old Testament, if you were fighting in battle, right, fighting on the side of God, and you got captured, you were taken to be a slave of the enemy, where you would remain unless someone redeemed you. Usually a member of your own family would buy you back to prevent you from shedding your own blood. Well, Christ was the one who bought us back, right? Bought us back from slavery and the devil and brought us back. And we have, as a consequence, a very impoverished understanding of the word redemption. Now, when I say Christ is the Redeemer,
Most people just think of, well, you know, he forgave us of our sins. He made it possible for us to go to heaven. And it's a slim, skinny, narrow, impoverished understanding of redemption, as if Jesus is nothing more than a great big eraser that erases our sins and we give thanks to God for that. Our understanding of redemption needs to be deepened. Redemption, in its historical context, to buy back, to establish justice, it means to set right all that had been wrong. Redemption means what it has been accomplished in Christ, but still playing out in history. Redemption means that everything that's wrong is somehow going to be made right. Everything that's evil is somehow going to become untrue. And everything that's sad is going to be undone. That's what we say, that's what we long for. Take a cue from Simeon. Take a cue from Anna. Pray that you see it. I can't promise that you're going to see it here in this lifetime, but, you know, who knows? God's full of surprises. Maybe you will. You will see it. Please, God, in heaven. Please, God, we all make it. Pray that you see that redemption as well. That's what we long to see. Not just the forgiveness of our sins, but understand this. Events in the present have the power to reach backwards into the past and change them, reframing everything that you once thought was true. Imagine a man that you thought was guilty, that you thought was a criminal. New evidence comes to light. Suddenly, the guilty is seen to be innocent. Suddenly, the criminal is seen to be a hero. That's redemption. Now, it's going to happen. I don't know how it's going to happen. But when it does, I have a feeling it'll look somewhat like Good Friday. Live through Good Friday with your eyes now in picture. Evil getting its way. Jesus under the lash of the whip. Jesus under the weight of the cross. Crowns in his head. Blood streaming down his face. Left to die, sealed in a tomb. Looks like Jesus lost and evil won. That was Good Friday. But God is the ultimate revisionist. He's the ultimate redeemer. The events of Easter Sunday reached backwards into the past and transformed everything that happened on Good Friday, such that every drop of blood was sacred. Every wound was an act of love. Somehow that's what God will do. Believe it and deepen your faith. St. Thomas More once said that heaven, that earth has no wounds that heaven will not heal. A little word here at the very end of the octave of Christmas. Take a cue from the hope of Anna and Simeon, believe and persevere, and God will not disappoint your hope. Amen.